which is Lippert versus International Union of Bricklayers. Mr. Scrivener.
Please the court. My name is Tom Scrivener. I'm representing the appellants in this case, Lippert Tile, which is the union signatory, Dean Allen Construction Services, which was the non-union signatory, and the Lippert Group, which is a management service company. A joint arbitration committee decision was rendered in March of 2011, which found the three companies to be a single employer. No single bargaining unit determination was made by the joint arbitration committee. And the appellants are seeking to have that arbitration award vacated. The district court rendered a written decision that enforced the arbitration award as issued. There are three issues which we are presenting to the court. The first is whether a single bargaining unit determination was made in this case, which is a requirement before the contract of Lippert Tile could be extended to the non-signatory entities. The second issue, and with respect to that issue, that is a requirement of the National Labor Relations Board. It is a requirement that has been recognized by the courts, and essentially a single employer finding alone is insufficient. There must also be the additional finding of a single bargaining unit. It is undisputed, I believe, in this case, that there was no single employer bargaining unit determination submitted to the Joint Arbitration Committee, made by the Joint Arbitration Committee, or discussed.
Why would it be a single bargaining unit? Don't all these tile workers do the same work in the same geographical area?
They are doing similar work, Your Honor, in the same geographic area, but the single bargaining unit question addresses a number of operational considerations. Interchange of employees.
Wait, slow down.
Sorry.
What do you mean employment? They're all employed by...
The interchange of employees, common supervision, which did not exist here.
You're going too fast.
I'm sorry.
Interchange by employees. Is there any interchange?
None.
But what about common supervision?
None at the job level.
Well, the Lippert Group employees respond to emails on behalf of everybody. All three companies operate from the same building. It's the same tile and installation and floor covering, same geographic areas, as Judge Posner said. Lippert provides estimating, administrative, and operational support for both. Purchases for materials are made through Lippert. I guess I was wondering what was different, because it looks like everything is an overlap.
What is different, Your Honor, is that at the job level of tile installation activity, there is essentially complete separation.
Look, what if this were one corporation? Forget about, the separation. But suppose, they had separate supervisors and so on for... Wouldn't it still be one bargaining unit?
If the operations and the management were all provided by one company and there was one employer and one entity, there would be no question. That would be the functioning of one entity.
I understand there's a substantial question about whether it's the same employer. But I don't see... But if it is the same employer, I don't understand. If we call it the same employer, then we say, well, it's just the Lipperts. There aren't really two separate companies and so forth. But wouldn't that mean that, wouldn't we automatically conclude it was a single bargaining unit? But this is a small company, right?
This is a reasonably small company. You're correct, Your Honor.
Where is the room for multiple bargaining units if all of the workers are doing the same thing?
The fact of the matter is that for Dean Allen, which operated under a completely different business model as compared to Lippert Tile, there were no employees. There were no employees of Dean Allen. Dean Allen basically did the tile installation work that it did using subcontractors.
Well, maybe I'm confused a little. I thought the Lippert Group employees, one of the other things that happened was they carried separate business cards which identified them as agents of each company.
Basically, in terms of estimating activities, there were estimators who were dedicated to estimating jobs for Dean Allen.
So these estimators had cards for all three companies.
But the estimators themselves were dedicated, some to Dean Allen, different estimators dedicated to Lippert Tile. And in almost every instance, I believe the record establishes that there were estimators for Dean Allen who estimated Dean Allen jobs, different estimators who estimated jobs for Lippert Tile, because the market for the two companies was so different from a cost perspective and a customer perspective.
See, I don't think your single bargaining unit is. I don't think that's a strong argument. I think your better argument, if it's true, is that you really have two separate markets. You have a market for tile for companies, maybe they're public companies or what have you, public entities, that want a union contractor, and then there are the companies that want non-union, and these are separate markets, and then what's the difference between having a single employer who had two departments, one for union, one for non-union? Isn't that your basic argument?
If the companies had separate departments, there would still be a bargaining unit question, and there could potentially be a single employer question for that entity.
Interesting. I think your interesting contention is that we have two separate markets, and that, of course, by signing a collective bargaining agreement for employing, you know, union labor and so on, that doesn't preclude a company from going into a separate market. All right? Isn't that what...
That was
what Lippert's were doing. They didn't want to just be in the union contractor market, because there are a lot of employers who don't want to have union, so they go into a different market, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. And they went into the different market with respect to an awareness that the operational companies of the non-union company and the union company needed to be set up and maintained on a separate basis, so that equipment on the job was Dean Allen for Dean Allen, Lippert Tile for Lippert Tile. Employees from Lippert Tile did not work for Dean Allen. There was no subcontracting between the companies. The supervision of the tile installation jobs was always separate.
Bidding on the same projects. Did they compete in bidding on the same projects?
In our view, Your Honor, they did not compete.
Pardon? In our view.
Well, they did not bid against each other for the same work at the same time in any case, and I believe the record establishes that.
Right.
And may I just raise sort of our third issue. We've talked about the first two, which I appreciate through the questioning. The third issue is whether there's a due process or impartiality problem with respect to the processing of this grievance by Jeff Leckwe, who is a director of the union. Mr. Leckwe filed the grievance, processed the grievance, decided the grievance, and many of the issues that the Joint Arbitration Committee decided were ones that...
The Joint Arbitration Committee has employer representatives as well.
Three and three.
Is Lippert on it, one of the Lipperts?
No. And the reason for that, Your Honor, is that most of the time in connection with these internal industry groups, a partisan who would have prejudged a matter would not be appointed by either the union or the company. Or the companies.
Well, these other non-union members of the Joint Arbitration Board, aren't they competitors of Lippert?
They are competitors of Lippert, correct. And it's an inherent.
But is that objectionable too?
It is an inherent part of this process. It is not inherently objectionable.
Why? Who wants to have one's competitor judging one?
Well, one would prefer probably not to have that happen, but the parties set up an arrangement which called for union representatives, employer representatives, and by definition, that's going to mean that competitors will be sitting on this committee.
That just says conflict of interest is built into the system.
There is a degree of conflict of interest built into the system, but that's not our issue.
What is his name, Leckwe?
Mr. Leckwe, yes, Your Honor. Yeah.
Why would his presence make any difference from any union representative? Any union representative is going to oppose you.
We understand that. The problem with Mr. Leckwe is that he had prejudged all issues.
Yes, but the union representative on the joint arbitration board will have prejudged every interest.
Your Honor,
will prejudge every case in favor of the union,
If they have prejudged the case, that is a due process problem.
What are you talking about? What do you expect of a union member of a joint arbitration board? He's always going to side with the union interest.
A reasonable expectation is that either a union...
And the reason you lost in the joint arbitration board is that the union is against you, Leckwe or any other union guy, plus the fact that the employer representatives are your competitors. So they're against you also.
It is a difficult situation. That may be life, but
Leckwe doesn't make any difference. What makes you think that if Leckwe had been replaced by another union guy, that would have made any difference in the result?
Whether it would make a difference in the result, I cannot say.
That's not responsive. What makes you think there's any possibility that another union person would vote the other way?
What I can tell you,
has that ever happened?
In my experience of 35 years, rarely, but occasionally. And that's true with respect to employer representatives or union representatives to these
matters. Rarely. In what circumstances does it happen?
There was a
fight between one union representative and another?
No, it actually happened to be a situation where the union appointed arbitrator disagreed with the union stance and sided with a neutral arbitrator. So I'd be the first to recognize that it's unusual. But this is why there should be no direct participation by an individual who is judging his or her own actions, his or her own grievance activities.
I assume this hearing is the majority rules in terms of the three representatives from the union and three from the employer.
Majority rules, Your Honor,
right.
Yes.
So the idea is that you have to persuade at least one from the opposite side.
Correct.
So... I mean, that's what, to me, builds some fairness into the system, and there's nothing in here that says you have to take yourself off if you're the one who filed a grievance. There's nothing in the...
But we believe that there should be a floor, so that anybody who participates in a process like this will be able to consider the evidence.
And I understand there should be a floor, but I'm saying that's not in writing. It's not in writing that you should not have no conflict.
There's nothing in writing that specifically addresses that, Your Honor. But the law had joint arbitration committee decisions being reviewed by the ordinary Section 301 arbitration standards. And those standards include minimal due process, fair hearing, objective decision maker.
What was the vote?
You can only, from the decision itself, it was a majority vote.
Right.
Not a unanimous vote,
right,
as
but
described.
The thing is, but I mean, that's why it's 3-3. So somebody's got to have an argument that compels the opposite side to go for it.
There's no question that at least one.
What if the vote was five? What was it? There's six members, right? What if it was 5-1?
There would still, in terms of this argument, there would still be the influence.
Right.
Improper decision maker.
Oh, so unreal.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Scrivener.
Matthew Robbins, appearing on behalf of the Appellee Bricklayers Union. This case comes before the court on cross motions for summary judgment.
I know that, yeah. Get to the point.
All right. Let's talk about the bargaining unit.
No, let's not, because that's not your problem. Your problem is you've got two separate markets here. And as long as they don't bid against each other, I don't see how the union is harmed by the fact that they've set up a separate operation to go into the non-union market, right? But the union has no legitimate interest in projects where there's no union.
That's untrue, Your Honor.
Why?
Many times union contractors are awarded work on by non-union contractors. The decision about whether to bid as because they caught a non-union project is not based upon whether someone is non-union who's the owner of the project, the general contractor, some subcontractor. It's a decision made internally in the Lippert Group by their estimators who meet every Monday and decide how are we going to bid the projects that come in. That's the record, and that's you'll see that at pages 73 to 75 of the supplemental appendix. The whole issue of there being a non-union market is not supported by the record.
I don't understand that.
Erwin, yes.
A lot of companies don't want to deal with unions. So there isn't any way in which the original Lippert, without its non-union branch, was going to get that business. So they're going into a different business. They have two businesses now, one to go after the union contractors, the other to go after the non-union. I don't see how that harms the union.
Because we have a collective.
They have to show that Lippert could have persuaded these non-union contractors to use union labor.
No, Your Honor, because we have a collective bargaining agreement that isn't limited to, quote, union projects or non-union projects. It covers all tile work in the metropolitan Milwaukee area. And since there's one single employer...
Force contractors to use union labor.
Well, it may be that when you're subject to a union contract, you may not be able to get every piece of work, just as someone may not be able to get some work because they're...
You know that. Of course you can't get all the non-union work. What's the percentage of union workers in the tile industry?
There's nothing in the record about that.
The private sector is like 7% or something, right?
No, that's not correct. You're talking about national, for all industries nationally, it's 7 to 9%. Not in the construction industry in the metropolitan Milwaukee area, and there's nothing in the record to support that.
That's what I'm asking you. Well, isn't that important?
Is it important? No. The issue is...
If there's a large non-union sector in the tile industry, then, of course, you're going to have companies going in with non-union labor to bid on those contracts. What difference does it make whether it's an independent company or it's a subsidiary of the Lipperts?
Because they're one single integrated employer, and therefore they're bound by the collective bargaining agreement. Otherwise, an employer could, at any time... Sign a collective bargain.
Why do you care? Why does the union care whether Lippert has a branch that does the non-union work or some other company does? Because now, you would have a legitimate gripe if the two Lippert branches bid against each other. And if, because then they could arrange the bidding so that their non-union branch always got the job. That would be bad, but I didn't see any suggestion of that.
Well, you might, at the Joint Arbitration Committee hearing, there was testimony that in one particular project, they bid it as a, quote, non-union project, and the general contractor called back and said, no, we want it at, We want to have a bid by a union site. So the same estimator just flipped over, used the stationery, signed the same bid, or it was a slightly higher bid, and so they play it back and forth.
So
they don't just bid on...
What was the outcome of that?
I don't know the outcome of whether they got the work or not in that particular case, but that it's clear that they bid it to a union contractor first as Dean Allen non-union, so they weren't just using it to go to a non to a non-union contractor. And then when the general contractor said, no, I want a union subcontractor, the same estimator just changed the stationery, signed his name to a new bid. And that shows that really they're not functioning on the basis of somebody wants union, someone wants non-union. They're making decisions internally as to how they feel like bidding it amongst the estimators themselves.
Your description sounds like a mistake.
No, my description sounds
because the contractor said, no, we want union. So they gave him union.
Right. It shows that they're not bidding to using Dean Allen for, quote, non-union projects. They're using it based upon when they want to cut the price. They don't want to have to use the union contract rate, the rates that they've agreed to in their contract.
You haven't actually given an example where they got a job with a union contractor? They got a non-union job?
Huh? I don't think it's up to the union to figure out how they get, which jobs they get. Our job is to enforce the collective bargaining agreement, and if it's
but
a single...
You, of course, agree that another company could come in and say, we just bid on non-union projects, right? You don't object to that.
Employers who...
Another company comes in, another tile company, that has nothing to do with the union, has no collective bargaining contract. It comes into the market, into this area, and it says, we just bid on non-union jobs, right? Nothing to do with that.
We can't control people. We have no control over who bids on a project, particularly if they're not subject to a collective bargaining agreement.
And you couldn't object if the Lipperts had set up a subsidiary which didn't have any, you know, overlap in management and estimators and so on with the existing company, right?
If they were truly operating in different markets, so for example, if they set up a non-union subsidiary in Illinois, and they were, but under the not in the market that was covered by a collective bargaining agreement, that would be a different situation. But to say that within the same geographic area, well, we're going to bid union or non-union depending upon how we feel like it, that makes a mockery of the collective bargaining agreement.
And then these business cards they were carrying, I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. They had for both, right? For Dean Page.
Yes.
As
they had
well
three business cards, three email addresses, three telephone numbers.
Same individuals.
Each estimator. And you'll see that at document 32-7, which they put it right.
What about counsel's argument that the people who actually went out on the job were different?
There were no
interchangeable.
That's why the bargaining issues doesn't make sense, because there were no employees of Dean Allen. In fact, there were no management employees of Dean Allen. Everybody who worked for Dean Allen was either working for the Lippert Group, which really controlled and managed the companies, or they were subcontractors. So what we're saying here is they violated the subcontracting clause. They were a single employer, therefore bound by the collective bargaining agreement, and therefore violated the subcontracting clause. There was no other employees of Dean. There were no employees of Dean Allen.
So the Dean Allen card was used for estimators who made estimates.
Right. It was
any work for under Dean Allen was done by subcontractors, not by Lippert employees.
That's correct. They were done solely to evade the subcontracting clause of the labor agreement, which provided you had to subcontract to a signatory subcontractor. With respect to the issue of the Merriman issue, I don't see how we can distinguish Merriman from this case. In Merriman, an officer of the union sat on the joint committee, and the business agents who worked for him filed a grievance. In this case, the principal officer sat on the committee, and a business agent was a witness. The point of Merriman is the structure of the joint committee assumes there's people have a viewpoint. And what's important is you have a collective bargaining agreement, and the parties agreed this is the way we're going to resolve our disputes, by a majority decision of the joint committee unless it deadlocks. That's what happened here. They should be bound by what they agreed to in the collective bargaining.
And the FAA, the Fair Arbitration Act, doesn't apply to these proceedings, correct?
Correct. That's precisely the holding of Merriman. Although the decisions of a joint committee are entitled to the same deference that a neutral arbitrator is. Mm-hmm. That's well said in this circuit and the United States Supreme Court. Your Honors, if you have no further questions, that concludes my argument.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Rollins. Mr. Scribner?
Thank you, Your Honor. The discussion that has just taken place establishes that there are two markets, one of which Lippert Tile serves and one of which Dean Allen serves. They are differentiated markets in the greater Milwaukee area. That is what has evolved over time. And so when these two separate operating companies were formed, when the second operating company was formed in 2004 and 2005, it was in recognition of the fact that the greater Milwaukee market had become differentiated. There was a cost structure difference of between 25% and 45% for the union contractor to bid when obligated to do so under the labor contract against a non-union competition. In the meantime, non-union competition grew, non-union competition became stronger, non-union competition became capable of performing any job. That evolution basically establishes why these companies existed, why they are necessary, and why they have operated separately at the bottom, in the bottom line of the different markets in which they exist.
Well, Mr. Robbins was suggesting that there's some fuzzy area where you might go to a contractor and offer non-union labor, lower price, but maybe for some reason the employer, although didn't have a collective bargaining agreement, maybe prefer union labor on that job or something. Is there anything in the record about this?
There is nothing in the record of that type, Your Honor. The one instance that Mr. Robbins identified is the one instance that the record shows where there were two companies bidding on one job. They were not bidding at the same time. They bid in sequence. They bid first through Dean Allen because it looked as though it was a Dean Allen job for its cost structure. The project owner or the contractor said, bid this union, and the company did that. That isn't anything other than the marketplace, and it isn't anything other than a recognition that there was a way to tell on a job-by-job basis which jobs were going to be union and which jobs were going to be non-union, and the estimators could tell when the calls came in which way it was going to go. And so the union contractors in the greater Milwaukee area basically decided years ago to forego those, quote, non-union jobs because the bidding of those jobs was a waste of time and a waste of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. We'll move on.